My name is Dan Bossi. I'm president of Ag Resource Company, which is a economic forecasting firm here in Chicago, Illinois.
Well, the theme of the general session is reality of today. And so you're talking a little bit to these people here, the attendees here, about this year, about what a year it's been, and what the outlook is at this point as far as agriculture is concerned, both domestically and internationally, and how that impacts the seed industry. Tell me a little bit about some of the things you're going to be talking to the attendees here about.
Well, it really ended up being a very interesting year. As we got into the month of June, everybody thought everything was going to be okay. Subline was maybe the thing and thesis, and that with U.S. biofuel demand in decline, we thought that maybe this year we could really start to rebuild grain stocks. And then Mother Nature, unfortunately, changed everything with a dramatic drought, not only here but in Russia. That dryness seemed to have spread to Australia and portions of Latin America, and we're now left with a global grain crop that is a record low, 103 million metric tons, or about 4 billion bushels than what we wanted. And we are now looking, of course, at facing the extreme dryness in many places around the world.
The importance of the technology that is being produced here, the seed technology, especially drought resistance when we're looking at something like that. Comment on that.
What was remarkable to us in our field analysis, and I have crop scouts that go out throughout the summer, and then we measure what, of course, the farmers actually receive. I think we had 60,000 input in terms of actual field surveys, is that we were just shocked at how the corn and soybean crops actually held together as well as they did. In the case of soybeans, we had record low pod counts. We caught a rain in the last few days of August from a tropical storm named Isaac. And what we ended up with is a soybean pod weight that was two standard deviations above the record. This never happens in agriculture and was a dramatic surprise and shows that, you know, U.S. soybean yields ended up being 3.5 to 4 bushels an acre more than we had ever expected or anybody in the industry. And I think that's largely due to the technology that's now bringing bread into seed.
One of the things we're facing now here at the end of the year is the fact that we do not have a farm bill. We don't even have an extension of the current farm bill. Comment on that situation.
Well, it's really somewhat of a catastrophe, as I'm concerned, that our legislators can't get together to either reduce our deficit, which will reach $18.3 trillion by the end of next year, and that we can't come up with a farm platform that works for everybody. I think the farm bill was agreed to in principle a few months ago. I think it should have moved forward. Unfortunately, with the polarization of Democratic and Republican parties today, we're at a standstill. Our best hope is we get some kind of extension because the farmer really does need this revenue insurance to get his loans, to buy his equipment, buy his seed and fertilizer for the upcoming growing season. The wheat farmer, the winter wheat farmer, has already done that and had that assurity. So it would only be fair to pass it along to grain and to some of the livestock groups. I hope legislators understand this and that we can cohesively move together and at least provide American agriculture the confidence they need to go forward with the next crop.
And speaking of that revenue assurance, really that's what saved our farmers this year is the crop insurance program, right?
Listen, I give everybody 5 years ago debating this bill tremendous kudos because they had wonderful foresight. I'm not sure they really understood climate change to the degree it's happening now, but we've had 3 years of below-trend corn yields in this country. And if you really think about the farm economy, had we not had this revenue insurance program, we would be looking at a sharp drop in farm income that would have hurt fertilizer, equipment, seed sales in general. That hasn't happened. Farm income this year will be record large, even with the drought-infected crops. And so it was really amazing, if you will, that those farm legislators had the vision to put this program in place. I just hope they have the ability to carry it forward because I think we all know it's the kind of platform we need for this country.
Well, and when you talk about insurance, really that's what we should be going forward with instead of, you know, direct payments, that kind of thing. This is something that the farmers are actually taking, you know, having a stake in themselves.
Listen, I don't think I could find a farmer across the Midwest today that wouldn't want a safety net that we just had during this drought. I mean, if last year proved anything, it gave comfort to those farmers to sleep at night. When you have variable costs exceeding $500 million an acre to plant a crop of corn, and then you've got to rent the land for $300 to $500, you've got a tremendous capital outlay. And if you didn't have a yield, or let's say the yield was 30 or 40% less, you may be out of business if you were a struggling young farmer. And so it's this safety net that really allowed people to get into our business, to thrive, and to go forward. And I think it was, as I said, a wonderful piece of legislation. Somebody had a brilliance to put it in play, and here we are today with Mother Nature proving it to be correct.
This is, of course, we look at an international market here, especially as far as agriculture is concerned. And when you're talking to these companies here, the technology that's involved, we have a couple of major things that have happened here. A memorandum of understanding with China to help increase technology between the two countries, and also the accord, which is going to be coming about because of the expiring patents, specifically Monsanto's Roundup Ready technology. Talk a little bit about how important these kinds of the international market is for technology, seed technology companies, and for the future of feeding the world.
Well, we would calculate at Ag Resource, we need about 20 to 21 million extra acres per year just to feed the developing world. I mean, if you look back at the past year, some very important things have happened, such as, you know, China has a grain called rice. They consider rice to be the sacred grain in China. And if this is the first year that China will become a net rice importer, never happened before, we think this will continue for a long time. We have other things happening. The Panama Canal has a birthday in 2014, or 100th anniversary, if you will. They're expanding a canal to have a container ship that will pass by with 14,000 containers versus today's 4,700. So that means that there's going to be a tremendous increase in demand coming out of the Gulf for U.S. product because of cheaper shipping rates. So because of where the world is, more people reaching disposable income levels that demand better foods, we're now at a place where we need extra acres, or we need the biogenetic industry to rear back and say we're going to guarantee crops that have more stability in terms of yield and have better yield potential in those years in which we have favorable growing weather. So we're excited about what's happening. We just hope the rest of the world understands what they're willing to get with these patent expirations and some of the other technology agreements that are now being signed.
That's really all the questions I have. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it. Let's hope that the year ahead has favorable weather and Mother Nature's much kinder than last year. And if so, we can relax a little bit in terms of food security. Our concern is that that may not evolve until we get into the June or July timeframe.
All right. Thank you very much. Here at the Asta Seed Expo and 2012 CSS, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.